Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jonah Goldberg. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a call from RJ Bell for his week 4 picks. And now, living inside himself, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love it when you share. So turn somebody on to this pod, would you? It's free. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Lots to get into. So much to get into. My problem is I have so much stuff running around my head and so many stories out there that it's an embarrassment of riches, and I don't know where to start. I have many thoughts. My buck slips are spread out all over the place. So
throw something out there.
Well, obviously, everyone is talking about the Kavanaugh hearing and match game, and everyone's talking.
They're one and the same. Same controversy.
I never thought I would live in a world where I would when I was 21, where I would say to my kids, like, hey, I'm on match game in the other room. I got a 65-inch TV. You want to check it out? We're good. Yeah.
Woozy Wendy's at a party with Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah. So I got into it moments ago with Mark Garagus, who's always a great guy to go to when it comes to any of these legal things, because he's been on both sides. He's been everywhere.
He's seen it all.
He's seen it all, and he has a lot of historical perspective. I mean, he's kind of a scholar. I think sometimes people lump him in with, you know, talking CNN mouthpiece or something like that, and he gets dumped in with, like, Gloria Allred or something. But and maybe I'm guilty of dumping Gloria Allred in with Gloria Allred, but
that's fair.
Gloria, you don't want to get lumped in with yourself.
Yeah, disassociate yourself.
Yeah, if you can get some distance. Yeah. Exactly. But he's a scholar.
Yeah.
He's a scholar, and he's seen it all. And so I said to him, this Kavanaugh thing, as you hear us now, it's going down now. We're taping this a day before. I said, there's three accusers out there.
So far.
Give me, well, yeah. As
well, one just came out like in the last 24, 48 hours, whatever it was.
Ramirez. Is
that I don't know.
No, that's the third.
That's what I'm saying. One came out in the last 24, 48
hours. No, I'm saying there's three accusers. Mm-hmm. Right. One just came out, but that's one of the three.
Right.
Okay.
So if that says anything, then there may be more.
At this rate.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
That's what I'm saying. At this rate, there could be another one, but between the time
we do this and that. Yeah. Yes. Okay, so there's three so far.
Sorry, it's a silly aside.
I said, rate, give them a number. Like, what credibility? What do you think? Where are you at with these three? Because, you know, you hear all the different news accounts and this and that. But from your perspective, if you're sitting where you're sitting, Is this somebody that you would fear coming into the courtroom or dismiss coming into the courtroom? So I have some numbers and some
Ooh,
updates.
Very interesting.
And some things and some twists and some turns that you guys will probably
Kevin,
find,
I got a Nike campaign.
Find interesting. So we'll get into that. We just recorded it. So Gary's hard at work whacking it up.
Ready.
And he's got it ready. Yeah. Okay, good. It's a few minutes long, but I think it's worth giving a listen to. There's that. There's also, as we speak, it is the 10th anniversary of Paul Newman's death.
Oh, wow.
So he's been dead for 10 years. It's been weird. I've been walking around for the last 4 years going, he hasn't been dead 10 years. Now he's been dead 10 years. And I am getting ready to, literally as we speak, his 935 is getting loaded into a trailer and going to Laguna Seca to race. So,
Be a nice
remembrance.
Yeah, it's funny. There's three guys' names on that car. Two of them are dead, Paul Newman and Rolf Stumlin. And then the one guy who's a big fat guy, Dick Barber, he's still alive and living in Florida, which we should bring up to Vinny, because the two guys who are amazingly physically fit are gone.
Yeah.
The one guy did die in a 935, so I guess it's not really his fault. That was Rolf Stumlin. And Dick Barber, little Dickie Barber. Wow.
Eating sugar and grain all day.
Still alive, still living in where... There's certain guys like... You know, we play Germany or Florida, but when you hear about, like, where's this ex-wrestler living, or where's Dick Barber living, or, like, where are these guys?
We know.
It's always Florida, right?
Yeah.
It's Florida.
Yeah.
Where'd OJ move?
There's only so many places.
It's never New Mexico. It's always Florida. I don't know. Is it a tax thing? I don't know. Is it a divorce thing? I don't know. But you kind of tell me. You tell me the fringy job somebody had and where he's now living, and I will tell you it is Florida.
It's Florida.
I gotta imagine 50% a tax thing, and then 50%, weather. It's always nice down there to some extent. You know,
nobody will find you in the Keys.
Stuff.
I know, but there's.
But the tax is gonna be the biggest part.
I love the weather and then. The Bay Area, but it's never the Bay Area. It's always Florida. Always move to Florida.
Yeah,
all right. I want to thank Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/AdamCastroledge, Titanium Strong, Maximum Energy Performance. Lisa, go to lisa.com/Adam and bet online. Go to betonline.ag. Enter the podcast one. We got the clip from literally moments ago. So if you are listening to Reasonable Doubt, which will be out on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
What we did, because of the schedule with Kavanaugh and Mark's schedule and my schedule, is we recorded the first half of Reasonable Doubt, first half hour, and we did that on a Wednesday. And then Mark is going to do a second half. I'm out of town, but a second half with Gary or whomever that is going to address.
Yeah. Smart.
And he'll do that on Friday or Thursday night or whenever that is. And then you'll have the completed.
The bookends.
Yeah. You have the A and the B, the pre, a lot of speculation, the post, not so much anymore. And but I will play you a prequel of Mark's response when I said, let's just go through the three accusers and you tell me what you think. What's your take? And I think you'll be surprised. Here we go.
Okay. There is five people in the house. She doesn't remember when it happened. She doesn't remember
the year. And sorry. This is number one. Right.
Blasey.
Sorry.
I would imagine.
Yes.
And all four people deny it. Okay, that's a DA reject. You know what a DA reject is?
Yeah.
Cops take the case to the DA. The DA writes out a reject slip that says no corroboration. Okay?
Okay, so that's number one. So number one is a DA reject.
Number two is the one that drives me personally crazy. This, and I'm not making this up. Go to the New Yorker article by Ronan Farrow, and I think, what's the woman's name? Meyer?
Something.
They start off with the scurrilous, scandalous headline, and then you read the article. And I read carefully the article.
Jane Meyer, go ahead.
Jane Meyer. buried two-thirds of the way, I don't know, halfway down in the article is a quote from the accuser. Do you know what this quote says? I hope Gary's got it up.
Yes.
Something to the effect is, I was loaded, I was drunk, there are gaps in my memory, I went to see my lawyer, and 6 days later, I'm now sure of my story.
Right.
Is that, Gary, am I misquoting?
No, you've got it pretty darn close.
Yeah, right. Okay. Not only DA reject, the lawyer has got some explaining to do. I mean, you don't come in, the last thing you want to do when a client comes into your office is start programming the client, because God forbid that your client is ever going to get under oath and say exactly what accuser number two said. Now, the irony of all ironies is accuser number three, and this came out within the last 90 minutes, I believe, is Michael Avenatti's accuser, which everybody was pilloring him yesterday because there was somebody who claimed they had spoofed him or this or that. The fact remains, his accusation, which nobody as yet has in contracts or anything else, is the only one that's real evidence. He's got a declaration under penalty of perjury. He's got somebody who's literally putting themselves out there, identifying themselves, and has got some street cred, and that's the accusation that nobody's paying attention to. So the world has been turned on its head.
So let me do this with you, Mark, because it's such a treat to get your opinions and passion on this. If you were to give the first accuser a number of 1 to 10, 10 being a lead pipe cinch, gold, as a person who does this for a living, a person you'd uncovered or found in your camp, 10 is the best, 1 is a DA reject, or 1 is not going to work, probably not great. In your opinion, what would you give the first accuser?
As of right now, and mind you, I don't want to be a senator. What's her last name from Hawaii? Where we've already...
Hirono.
Right. And McConnell's the same way. He's already, I believe Kavanaugh. At least Kavanaugh has testified. So you've got something to base it on. All I know is what I've read the accusations are and what I've read as to the lack of corroboration. That's what's your term? A nothing burger?
Yeah. So yeah, would you give her two? Would you give her two?
Two until I see her, and if we top off the show on Friday, I'll reassess.
All right, second accuser.
Second accuser. Look, based on the article, and apparently the article is now, if you're Ronan Farrow, you just write stuff and prosecutors prosecute based on whatever Ronan Farrow writes. But even in Ronan Farrow's article, that's beyond a nothing burger. That one offends me.
And number three, the latest Avenatti
client. Number three, I'm going to give Avenatti credit. I mean, they trolled the shit out of him yesterday, and at least he came out. He's got somebody who's got bona fides, and they took the step. That leapfrogs over a five.
What number would you...
I give it a seven.
Wow. Well, there you go, everybody.
Wow.
Avenatti, maybe the next... Democratic...
the next Garagos?
Next president. I mean, he's going to be running.
And isn't it true that the only woman who's actually going to testify is Blasey, which is... he gave it a two, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, again, it's the DA reject, which is sort of the ultimate, which is... The cops go, we want you to prosecute this person, and the DA goes, I don't have enough here to work with,
right.
So no thank you.
Wow.
That's in his professional opinion, but they'll get to the others or something. I don't know. I don't know anything. I just thought you guys would like to hear Mark Garagos and his take. And again, the weird stuff is, like, I don't think he's a fan of Avenatti, but he is...
he gave reluctant credit.
Intellectually honest, yeah. When he says, I think that might be the best shot.
Wow.
So far. So, interesting stuff. Let me jump in and hit a little Castrol Edge while we're here. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge. Engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure, helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times!
Three times, fool!
stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. I put a little in the crankcase of the 935. Got to top it off, man. That's air-cooled. It relies only on the cooling of the oil, and that's why you need Castrol Edge, the best liquid titanium technology. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine with Castrol Edge. Come on. I'm telling you, I know cars. Get some Castrol Edge and take care of that the second biggest investment. And if you work here, your first biggest investment, because no one owns a home. All right. Let's see. We got so much stuff to get to.
I'm
going to
get the number wrong. I know I've heard it before. Genia might know. It could be 30. It could be 40. It could be 50. I don't know what it is, but some large number of sexual assault cases go unreported, whatever it is. It could be 45%. I don't know.
Around 30.
Yeah,
no,
whatever it is.
I have no idea.
It's a high number.
Yeah. It's a high number. Is it any wonder that they go unreported? Because the girl said, a woman says, oh, I was assaulted, blah, blah, blah. And here we are giving scores to her story.
Yes.
Scoring. I give it. She said she was molested. She was raped. I give it a 2.
It's a good point, Brian.
Jesus.
And you know, there was.
That's so distasteful.
No, I
know what you're doing. I know what Garris is doing. And I understand intellectually, but it's so distasteful.
Well.
You're absolutely right. It's like eating your tail.
This it feels gross.
Well. He's a lawyer.
I know. And I want his expert opinion. I
want
totally
to know what he thought it was. And look, it's you know, it's this sort of, I don't want to say two-way street, but it's like when we were talking about the whole Aaron Andrews case, mm-hmm. and then the lawyer, the waitress says they overhear the lawyers showing pictures and going, she doesn't look that hot. When I hear those kinds of stories, I think like Mark Garagos, and I think gold.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
gold. If that waitress comes to you and you go, excuse me, who are you? And they go, oh, you're going to be interested in some information I have. That kind of stuff just busts stuff wide yeah. open.
And that's a black and white world that he lives in where it's, is this prosecutable or not? Is you know, where does this fall on the scale of how is it going to hold up in a court or a testimony or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Look, it's...
Sorry, just rub me the wrong way.
It's you know, somebody was assaulted or not assaulted, and we're trying to figure out what it's worth. And you know, it's like you have to on, and this is why I get the big bucks. When almost 3,000 people were killed during 9/11, some lawyer had to put a price on everybody.
Yeah,
had to decide what everyone was worth. Yep. You know, is that janitor worth as much as the guys, the investment banker? They're both in the building. They both have kids and they're left young families behind or whatever it is. Somebody has to like literally yeah. assign. I think for some reason, if memory serves, it was like $2 million. But somebody needs to go,
unsavory,
here's what your husband's worth.
Yeah. Crunch those numbers.
And it's like, it's a weird business. I don't think I could do it. It would be weird. Yeah. Although I couldn't be a meter maid either. And I couldn't be a cop.
Well, kind of the same reasons. Like it has a weight on your soul, whether you're writing $35 tickets for somebody or whether you're assigning a value to their, you know, their
carrying
husband.
Out the bidding.
Yeah. You're
well,
you're,
this, a, I don't know. See, this is different for me. I feel just in a weird way, like I couldn't be an emergency room surgeon, but I just felt like I was asking the surgeon to do his job. But we're living in that world where you have to, you go, how can you put a price on the life of a man? That was my husband. It was a father. Man. It's like, well, we got to come up with a number.
Yeah. Yeah. How can we have to?
We have to. Right. So we have to. Brian. We have
answer.
To sign a number to all the victims.
Oh, little Brian.
No, what I was interested in that in his mind, because he's been through this process so many times, if you go to the DA and you go, here's what we got, and he goes, what else do we got, or whatever, that obviously you can't prosecute every crime that is brought to the DA. The mm-hmm. DA has to go, we'll take this one and we won't take that one. I found it interesting that he thought the first two, no, but the latest Avenatti one, yes. So, and he's a passionate man. You thought Drew was a man of extreme passion.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
You ain't seen nothing yet. All right, so we got that. We got, told you about Newman. Oh, a weird, so I had this, had a weird coinkydink that I didn't know was a coinkydink, which is, I've told the story about Wendell Shirley, being the slowest brother on my football team.
Oh, and the police officer.
Taking it to the house because Robert and Leonard.
Tribute.
Leonard's a tribute to Robert. Caceres and Leonard Ishu's death when they were 18. And a Pinto wagon fire. And then running into him later on and finding out that he was higher climbing the ladder at LAPD. And then somebody tweeted me a picture of him, like, at a press conference. And I just sort of looked at it, and I went, oh, he's having a press conference. And I didn't really look into it much more than, oh, yeah, there's Wendell Shirley. And we'll try to maybe get him to call in one of these days or bring him in. We'll talk some high school football and talk about the LAPD. Then later than today, I was listening to the news, and they said a fella, well, in the news story, now you're going to have to, we'll figure this out on the fly, but in the news story, they said this fella that had been deported to, I think, Nicaragua or El Salvador or something like that. Nicaragua.
El Salvador.
6 times, came back, and in the news, it's
three times, fool.
Thank you. In the news, I don't like to assign numbers to Nicaraguans or El Salvadorans.
This guy gets
Brian,
six.
Please. But came back, and, right, and he killed, and in the news story I heard this morning is, he killed a homeless guy. And then I thought, when I heard it, I thought, wow, our governor's got a real Sophie's Choice decision to make here, because on one hand, he loves illegals being in here, and he loves multiple deportations of them coming back. On the other hand, he loves homeless people even more, so now he's up against it.
Yeah.
He has this fella that he loves, which is murderers who come back into this country over and over again, but he also loves homeless guys because they're heroes.
Don't make him choose.
And now this is two heroes battling it out in the streets of Los Angeles. But then when I got here, Max Pattis said he killed family members or something who could have been homeless. I don't know. Well, so you tell me.
Yeah. So he came from Houston. So and his aunt and uncle are missing. So they haven't found any bodies, but they're missing. And he drove all the way to California at the beginning of the month and has been killing homeless people in their sleep with a baseball bat and bolt cutters.
Oh.
So he's killed, I think, 4 people, and 3 are in critical condition. One's in a coma. And then he just robs them.
Oh, my God.
The homeless? Mm.
Yeah.
Of what?
This guy's got it.
I give it a 2.
Yeah. All right. He's been deported 6 times?
6 times. Illegally reentering the U.S. in 2016. Again, he won an appeal of his immigration case and released from custody last year.
Way to persevere.
Yeah. He's a hero. All right, Brown, Governor Brown, where are you going to land on this one? I mean, you love fucking illegal aliens, but on the other hand, you love homeless.
No, it's a real yeah.
Now, this guy's killing your own. Ugh. It's tough. Pick it's a Sophie's Choice. That's tough. Well, we'll see what he has to say. I'm guessing it'll be nothing. Okay. So I thought that was an interesting story. And my buddy Wendell Shirley was the cop who was doing the press conference on this story.
What?
That's what I found out. Is that true, Max Bata?
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing the press.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, commanding officer of criminal investigation for Santa Monica PD.
Hey, look, you're both in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Media darlings.
You're both on TV.
So it's come full circle, everybody.
Wow.
I thought that's why you asked me to look up the story, because of Wendell, but...
Turns out there's more. Yeah, tell me this thread.
Yeah, well, the
Wacky
thing...
Wacky Wendell had a press conference.
Yeah, match game. Come on, Gina.
Sorry, I'm on Dayquil.
No, because when I looked at the thing, it was like your buddy Wendell had a news conference about a guy from Houston. But that's all I got. Mm-hmm. And then 2 days later, I was just listening to morning radio, and they just did that sort of AM, right. You know, this guy accused of. So I didn't connect the dots, but there you go. All right. I had another thought, although RJ Bell... Where is RJ Bell? Is he due to call in about now?
Yeah, we're going to get him on the line.
Do we have a Rich Banks song that we've been sitting on?
Yep.
We do. Let's play it. Let's hear it.
Hello, Dylan, lucky friend. It's good to rant at you again. because you fuck up nearly every day. You can't seem to get out of your own way, and the bio that is far from perfect, you triple checked. This is the language of losers.
Damn.
Don't worry, Dylan, it's not just you. Matt and Gary fuck up too.
Trouble.
Look through the window of negligence. No one there is doing Adam's best. And when Gary takes off a week for his half birthday, that is the way to hear the language of losers. And through his childhood, Adam saw, checked out dad and depressed mom, parents who did no parenting, dirt on home that was embarrassing, flunky buddies like Ozzy and Ray borrowing cash they won't pay back. This is the language of losers.
Powerful.
Rich Banks needs a Grammy.
He really does.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. He is
such an insulting two-part harmony.
I love it.
Behind the low, behind the higher.
Now, I always toss a bone out to Mike Lynch, who usually gives an assist.
I have to assume.
On those lyrics. Yeah. So God bless Mike Lynch as well. But wow. Dickie Banks knocked it out of the ballpark.
Powerful, though.
I had a fella on the cruise say, where are all these songs? You want to hear more of these songs? Yeah. And I said, we should. Now, you can't sell the songs because that's a copyright thing, but you can give them away, I do believe, and post them. And I think we're going to do more of that. So, because I oftentimes, I'll give you a good example of man at his worst. Twice a month, I'll take my dog for a walk, and at some point I'll think, Jesus, Rich Banks and Mike Lynch, it worked so long putting those things together. And they're so good, and we play it one time, never to be played again. It just seems like such a waste for all the other hours. And also, it's a little bit of a slap in the face to the people that put so many hours into this thing. And now it makes a minute 45 of airtime, never to be played again.
Back in the vault.
And they can live.
And then at some point, I swear to myself, I think, Adam, you are going to find a place for those songs, and you're going to make them available to the people, and you're going to play them in some rotation on your podcast. And then my next thought is, I'm hungry. And then I start looking for a Chipotle. And then another month goes by, and I go out on a walk, and guess what thought I have?
You know what I should do?
Make the songs available.
I wonder if in your weird mind, I've never had this thought before, but I must pass mailboxes or shrubs or homes that are done in certain architectural styles, and they must jar the same memory. Like I must go.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I must have some sort of dynamic that is unknown to me, but I just pass by a mailbox and I look at it and I go, what about those Dick Banks songs? A month later, I probably have that thought when I must be triggered by that same landmark.
Yeah. Well, at the very least, the one time you thought of it, that's where you stop and think of it every time.
Right.
It's not like you're passing a convoy and thinking of Brian masturbating
How
in
dare
a
you.
Truck.
Right.
I don't know if you guys get copied on these tweets, but I get asked for this one on an almost weekly basis.
Oh, really? Let's hear it. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
She's my cherry pie.
I love this one.
Cool drink of water, such a sweet surprise.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Tastes so good, make a grown man cry.
When you do sweet choked up DJ.
All right, let's see. I'll try to do that.
Stripper fell off the balcony.
We don't.
You know, we close the party for corporate gigs. The club will close it for our corporate gigs. I'm going to take a little hit off the champagne and dump a little out for Chintweed. Anyway, look, anyone who thinks it's sexy to walk around in 9-inch Lucite heels, stay off the railing. Okay, because 1 minute you're having the time of your life with a bunch of guys. You're here for the HVAC convention. By the way, that is at Circus. Circus, a little business, and there's still some tickets, although you're going to need a laminate if you want to get in there. But I digress. 1 minute you're entertaining the bejesus out of a couple of guys, and the next minute you're catching a heel on that railing and plunging. It's hard to say. Plunging to your death. Damn it, I said that indoor-outdoor carpeting offers almost no padding at all. And if one of these ladies goes ass over tea kettle, look, I don't want to live in the past. There's a lawsuit pending. She leaves behind four stepkids and seven half-brothers and two half-sisters. Chantel, well, I never knew her real name. And while she's only been working at the club for 11 days, I feel that all these girls, I feel like, well, I don't want to say dad because it's creepy, takes a turn for the sexual. I want to say that all these girls are my children. Jeez, I think that was worse. Speaking of the girls, Jade, stage five. She'll be missed. I'm going to take another hit off this champagne and dump a little out for Chantel. All right, the buffet's open, by the way. Yeah, I love that.
A lot of people. Good,
makes me laugh every time. All right, RJ Bell, do we have him? Oh, he's on line two. RJ's parlays. We'll let Brian get that one ready. RJ?
You know, Adam, I do not think I can follow that. It was too good.
All right.
Good talking to you.
Moving on. You twisted my arm, RJ. Sorry, Jay. I had to do it.
I'll try my best.
I gotta say, I got the jersey of Orlando Zeus Brown sent to me by Michael Lombardi. He was on the show saying, I'll send you that jersey. It's one of the only jerseys I own. It's amazing. Things in the next room. Gina, you should hold it up.
It's
like, literally.
I
held it up. Oh, it I'm 6'2". I put that thing under my chin. It went down past my knees. I mean, that guy was a giant man. And let me say this, RJ, in the football world, when I make a documentary, all the documentaries start off as a sort of a, that's a cool story. And then a bunch of months go by, and then you go, you know, somebody should... Most people don't know that. Yeah, somebody doesn't know that story. And then at some point, I walk into Nate Adams' office and I go, you know what our next documentary is? And I go, here it is. I'm right at that stage with Orlando Zeus Brown. Like, I that is a great documentary.
Yeah. Like one other guy's life.
My God. I mean, you have all the elements. You have this sort of giant of a man. You have the growing up in a horrible... crime-riddled inner city. You have fighting for money and, like, for your life.
Being wooed by gangs.
You have all the ancillary, the Belichicks of the world, Lombardis of the world in there, and then you have dying at age 40 and your eye being taken out and having to sit out for a season. Now your son's in the league. I mean, it's...
Got it all.
All the pieces are there. Sorry, RJ Bell.
No, but to me, it's a great example of, and I've said this before... You and your team genuinely being a pioneer in the digital space, I think the next frontier, and it's being touched now, is these short-form videos, you know, an 8-9 minute. And again, obviously something longer is more ambitious, but a lot of these stories, I think, can be told amazingly in 8 or 9 minutes, and the distribution on the web with video, I think, opens the door to a lot of that.
It's an interesting concept, and yeah, in a world where things are traditionally 90 minutes and no one has 90 minutes to watch anything anymore, there is a sort of short form version of this, which would be interesting. Like when I did the Newman doc, I was like, well, the guy died at 83 and he has so many components to his life. I'll let it breathe. But yeah, you're right. I'll investigate. So, RJ, how'd we do last week?
Well, 1-1 last week. The Browns won on Thursday night. 49ers. Now, we could complain Jimmy G, their star quarterback, got hurt, and that's what caused the loss. I won't do that, though. 4 wins and 2 losses on the season, 67% winners.
Speaking on Brian's theme of me giving numbers to victims of rape.
Yep. Please.
When I was
new bit.
It's Rich always get a song.
It's always funny when some guy's season and maybe career is ended, and they interview the guy in the locker room, like the linebacker, like, "Hey, man, that's on you. You're gonna slide." Well, I mean, what? You got an extra 9-10 inches of real estate? Now you're out for the season? I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but
come on.
Come on.
Business.
It's like, yeah, I know. We're literally harsh. We do. It's tough, but it's true. You should slide.
Yeah.
And it's also true that you're being penalized for doing everything every Pop Warner football coach ever told you to do, and high school and college was, come on, you got to get that extra lean forward. Mm-hmm. You know, like the stuff you've been coached to do your entire life, you must not do.
And it could also fall in the category of a freak injury. He didn't get hurt from running into somebody or taking a hit. He stepped awkwardly getting that extra yard. You know what I mean? So that's one of those things that could have happened. So.
Yes.
Now, did you guys follow Jimmy G in the off season when he was having, let's say, dating a porn star?
I turned on TMZ. Max Zapata can probably find what RJ's talking about. I turned on TMZ about 2.5 months ago, and not only was he out with a porn star, but he was out with novelty porn star.
Like, fetish.
There's two kinds of porn stars. There's your basic, oh, she's in porn, you couldn't tell, and then there's Borat's girlfriend he took to the party. You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
damn.
She is doing her French farce of a caricature of a porn star. And that's a funny choice for him.
She's not one of Charlie Sheen's angels.
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say quickly, and again, not that there's anything wrong with it, but he's like 25, and I think she was 40 or so at the time. So surprising in that way too, I think.
Good for both of them.
I gave that some thought, but let's really drill down on that, as they say. He's young. He's super handsome. He can date anyone he wants, and he also had a reputation of not having a reputation. I didn't hear anything good or bad. He didn't get into trouble. There wasn't some arrest or domestic disputes or violence in an elevator or anything. So he was getting paid or would get paid in the quarterback position. You get paid on 80% of how you sling the ball, but then there's another 20%. Like, what do you look like? How many jerseys do you sell? Do the fans like you? Do the ladies like you? You know, there's a part of it that is a little bit of a show business part of it. And if you have the matinee idol good looks, that's good. If there's videotape of you punching out your girlfriend in an elevator,
that doesn't move
merch. That's going to hurt it a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's a guy who's, oh, it's Tom Brady and him and Tom Brady, and who's better looking and who's squeakier clean or whatever it is. Going out in public with the 40-year-old grandma of the porn star in her industry.
A gilf.
Yeah, they don't make as, you know, same with the NFL. Not too many people over 40 still in the league with the triple D fake boobs. It's kind of a weird goof of a move for him. And if you got a fetish and you got some cash, God bless you. But he's just walking down, walking into the baked potato
the
and having
hotel.
He's really going to like the TGI Fridays and the Cheesecake Factory with her and hanging out.
Yeah.
What is that, RJ?
Well, listen, I think it's very important in this day and age to be careful with our terminology. So when you say fake boobs, I think allegedly fake boobs.
You gotta say it.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yes.
Evidently.
Obviously.
Yeah, she's 41. He's 26. I don't know. Just like, I don't know. He's probably got some parents back home in Kentucky or something that they're watching
Mom
TV.
Garoppolo.
But in another way, isn't this the move for a clean cut 26-year-old guy who could do anything he wants, and he wants a porn star.
Also, he was a backup in the Patriots, you know, Kraft Belichick hierarchy. Is this him breaking out a little bit, being like, "Hey, man, I'm a starting quarterback. Yeah. I'm in San Francisco. It's a young team."
Were they dating? I mean, also
in common.
Who's going home for Thanksgiving?
Where are you going? Go over to her house.
The holidays.
Does he have anything on that, Max Spada?
They took a Valentine's selfie, which was scrubbed immediately off of Instagram.
Oh, come on.
And they're no longer together.
I thought this were going on forever.
Oh. He said, quote, "It was a good learning experience."
That's what I'm talking about.
If they can't make it.
Tell Matt he's got to return the food processor, I thought. I went to where they're registered at Bed Bath & Beyond, and I'm going to have to get my money back on that. It's a weird move, but I guess... He's 26 and...
That's a date of porn star.
He's the starting quarterback in the NFL, finally.
Okay.
Hottest guy in the NFL.
What's fascinating, you know, last thing is to hear the talk radio guys and the sports talk this week connect him dating the porn star to his injury. Like, when he turned back in, it was like, oh, he's wowed. He doesn't want to follow the rules. He dated the porn star, then he turned back in and got hurt. There was many, many hours of that type of discussion.
Didn't everyone blame Jessica Simpson when Tony Romo wasn't doing so well?
Well, that's good science.
that's hard science.
Yeah, that is true. So what is the status of Garoppolo? Is he torn ACL out for the year?
Oh, yeah. Out for the year. It's one of those, you know, potentially 12-month-plus injuries. I mean, if you look at Deshaun Watson for Houston, he came back in about 10, and people are looking at his play and saying, not looking so good. These used to be 18-month injuries. I mean, even 5-6 years ago, Adrian Peterson came back very fast. He was the first guy. And now everyone seemingly is coming back quicker. But they say it can be almost 2 years before you're 100%. Oh, you can play, but there's still that doubt.
Well, Adrian, even though he was laid up, he still worked his upper body by taking a switch and beating the back of his son's testicles with it. Which is, he does kind of slide under the radar a little here, which is, all right, you gave your kid a whooping, and maybe there's a little cultural thing there. I can't judge. But lacerations on the back of the testicles of a 4-year-old.
How do you explain that?
I give it a two.
You got to wait till you have a son. You wait till you have a son and then imagine that scenario where I get a car antenna and bend Sonny over at 4 or 5 to the point where it's leaving grill marks on the back of his scrotum.
Piece of shit.
And then how's that fly? By the way, Lynette would kill me and then spend the next 12 months kicking my corpse.
As well she should.
To that point, in any scenario.
To that point, we had to spank Tessa for the first time the other day. Yesterday, actually.
Eyeballing you again?
Yeah. That's right. She gave me that look.
Told her the first time.
Gave me that look. I said, I told you once.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Right, no, when you have to. No, Drew says if they're endangering themselves,
those
by
words
eyeballing
echoed in my
you.
Mind. You know, she kicked Charlie. She kicked Charlie.
Oh,
she
no.
Yeah, and he snapped at her because, you know, she got kicked.
Right.
And Christy had to whack her on the bottom. She was not happy about it, but Charlie's going to bite her if she does that again.
If you don't want her to have that.
Charlie's our the son.
If you don't want to have that bad experience with Christy, I can send Olga over there to put a smackdown on her. Because that's what
somebody's getting kicked in the ribs.
I farm it out. Tell your therapist about the Guatemalan woman who hit you, not mommy and daddy. Remember, we were in the bedroom watching TV.
We were neglecting you.
That's right.
We're nowhere near you.
All right. So what was Adrian Peterson? Was he 4 years old? Were there like lacerations on the back of his scrotum? And it is weird. We do live in a society that forgives and forgets sometimes, and then other times, not so much. Yeah. This is one where we move past it pretty quickly.
Real.
4 years old.
4 years old.
And he's still allowed to be in the NFL, yes?
He's still playing. He had a great game last week.
I'll do what everyone does to me. The 4-year-old? And then I say to people, no, not the 4. Well, you said the 4-year-old.
You said he.
No.
I do a lot. That's basically my day.
That's tough.
And then at some point, they'll go, there's got to be 7 by now. And I'll go, yeah, okay, still not what I'm talking about. So, yes, he's allowed.
He had 120 yards last week.
Yes, he's doing better.
The 4-year-old?
Unreal.
Yeah. Were there lacerations that the ex-wife took to the doctor? And then I'm not sure what his punishment was. All right, anyway.
I'm seeing lacerations to the back, the legs, the arms, and the buttocks.
Oh, okay. We don't got this back of the scrotum?
Not in this article.
Keep looking.
Could be bundled.
All right.
Do a Google image search.
It's a four-year-old. You're leaving marks. Laceration marks.
He's a monster.
It's insane.
No.
All right, I don't know what he got for that. Did he, or was he did it while paycheck. He was injured, or whatever it is?
I don't remember. If he was concurrently. RJ might remember. Was he concurrently injured at that time, or did he get suspended, or nothing?
I actually think he was suspended maybe half a season, and I'm going by memory. So it was a bigger story, but it wasn't a full season, if I remember correct.
All right,
Adam touched on it. There really was a serious conversation about the cultural. End of it. And, and that was something I think that mitigated it a little bit because a lot of people are apprehensive to be critical if you play that card, I think.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, whatever color you are, if you're experiencing that as a 4-year old, you will be more apt to perpetrate that on others as you get older because that's your sort of conflict resolution.
That
you're not
just got installed.
You're not getting your way. I will put my hands on you. And since we're looking for less of that in our society, then let's frown upon it even more, no matter what the color of your skin, especially if you're black. Okay. I just do that for you, RJ.
It's time
I love
for RJ's Parlay. With Vegas insider RJ Bell.
Okay, for the season, we're 4-2, 67 win percentage. Not too shabby.
Oops. I agree. Yes. Now, this week, Thursday night, we're not playing this game, but I know it's of note. The Rams, best team in the NFL, it's not even close from a Vegas perspective, favored by 7 against the Minnesota Vikings Thursday night.
Wow.
Our first game, though, Oakland Raiders, favored by 2.5 over the Browns. Baker Mayfield had that miracle victory, helped this last week, but now a whole week for the defense to get ready for him. They didn't expect him to play. He came in, played exceptionally well. But this is more about the Raiders. They're 0-3. That's on the surface. But check this out. Week 1, they played the Rams, best team in football. They led at the half, the Raiders did. Week 2, they played in Denver. Very hard to win in Denver early because there's so much altitude and teams aren't in full shape yet early in the year. Historically, Denver dominates early. The Raiders late in that game had a 92% chance to win based on ESPN. Week 3, they lost to the undefeated Dolphins in Miami. It was 90 degrees, and late in that game, they had a 92% chance to win. So this is a classic example. The Raiders are 0-3. But they really shouldn't be 0-3. They've gotten unlucky, and now we've got a Browns team people are excited about. Less than a field goal, Raiders -2.5, our first pick.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. I'd heard, too, the Raiders had led at halftime in every game they've lost.
See, RJ's the insider. He says, unlucky, I see bad coaching. Like that. This is a team that drops, blows leads.
Well, he's talking about humidity and altitude and even things like that, but I agree. And I would say that, but Chucky's the coach.
And he sucks.
I guess so.
Well, that team's 2-14. Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, real quick, not to get too technical, but quickly, the math guys have really studied how correlated are close wins, right? Let's say we take one score win. You would figure if a team's just good at them, they would stay good year after year. There's only a couple teams, and the Patriots are one, that win more close games over a 5 or 6 year period than average. And there's a couple teams that don't, but at least 80%+ of the teams winning and losing close games is more of a coin flip. And with those other teams, it's either really good or really bad coaching.
Yeah, it always seems like the Patriots win the close ones, and historically the Bolts, Chargers would always lose the close ones. Mm-hmm.
They're number 2, actually, Adam. That's quite sharp. They're the number 2 most losing team in close games over 6 years. The Browns are number 1.
So you got the Raiders this week.
Raiders.
Yeah, when we were talking to Michael Lombardi, I found something interesting. I even wrote it down. When he was talking about being competitive versus a work ethic and work whatever, and I thought to myself,
Yeah, a guy like Doug Flutie was so competitive. Mm-hmm. He's the winningest guy in Canadian football. The guy's 5 foot nothing. Was like able to compete. Just, we went to high school with guys that, that were that way. Just super, super competitive. And we always talk about natural ability versus work ethic. But there's a third part of the pyramid. Since I made it into a pyramid, sure. There has to be a third. There's a third component to the yardstick. Yeah. There's a third part, and that is competitiveness. And I'm now realizing that that might trump everything, just being insanely competitive. Tom Brady's an insanely competitive guy with arguably no physical gifts. So much. And the competitive part drives the work ethic as well. But the thing, the only thing that scares me is betting against super, super competitive guys. And Baker Mayfield may be that guy.
Mm. Well, listen, if so, he hasn't proven it, right? One good game certainly doesn't prove that. But you make a great point. You look at Michael Jordan, a lot of talent, but there's famous stories where he's punching Steve Kerr because he's losing a scrimmage game, you know, during practice, and this is after he won like five titles.
Yeah, and Jordan is a example of when you take the physicality, the work ethic,
it all comes together,
and the competitiveness, and that then you are Mount Rushmore Hall of Fame. That's where that stuff comes in.
Insufferable on board game night.
Yes, and I do, but I am. I was watching Baker Mayfield play when the Browns Hard Knocks, and he seemed pretty impressive. Now, maybe that's editing room business, but he was coming off the bench and seemed pretty good in those preseason games. I know they're preseason, but well, I guess we're going to find out this weekend.
If you look at Peyton Manning, best, I mean, many would say, and I would agree, best regular season quarterback of all time, he had one of the worst years on record his rookie year. Now, passing has gotten easier, but I'm not really making a commentary on Baker Mayfield's career or even this whole year. I just know this is his first start, and the first team that's going to have a chance, the Raiders, the game plan for him. They didn't game plan the Jets last week for him. Now they will. That's a whole different level of difficulty.
All right. I'm loosely basing my theory on Baker, the touchdown maker, being a good nickname.
Yeah, that is catchy.
All right. What is the second game?
Or Baker, the money maker, if you fade him. Second game is really simple. I'll keep it short. We're playing the Bengals +5.5 at Atlanta. And here's the theory, and it's simple. Atlanta has more injuries on defense than any team in the NFL. But most fans, even guys that watch a couple games a week, probably can't name any of these defensive players because they're not one of the 20 most famous defensive guys. We don't focus much as fans on defense, but they have so many injuries. The average fan is kind of shrugging. The professional is saying, oh, this team's in trouble. We saw last week the Falcons, even with less injuries, gave up 40 points to the Saints. Now we got the Bengals +5.5 here. And it's really just playing against those injuries and the Falcons not being accounted for.
All right. And last two.
So that's the two then. We've got the Raiders and we've got the Bengals.
Okay. Those are the two games. Sorry. And again, for the season, 4-2, right? Mm-hmm. 6-7%?
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Well, we round up. We round up. It's 66.6.
I like your integrity.
Satanic.
But keep it to yourself. Pregame.com is the website. You can check out the podcast Dream Preview as well. It is RJ Bell. Thanks, RJ.
Thanks, guys.
Let me hit Lisa over here. Lisa Mattress. You guys have heard of these guys. Distracted, forgetting things, making mistakes at work. Quality night's sleep with the right mattress makes the difference. More than 30 years experience in mattress engineering and hundreds of hours of testing. Fraction of the cost of traditional mattresses. Three foam layers provide cooling pressure relief,
wrinkle
body contouring and support. Over 300,000. Three times, fool. 300,000. Happy Lisa sleepers agree. Lisa is the best mattress at the best value. And you order yours, Lisa mattress, online at leesa.com/Adam with the promo code Adam. A good TV, a good car, and a good mattress. That's all you need out of life. Use the promo code Adam. You try it risk-free for 100 nights. Ships direct in a convenient box with free shipping and returns. Right, Dawson?
Find the right mattress for you at Lisa.com/Adam and get the rest you need tonight. Get up to $160 off the Lisa mattress or $235 off the luxury Sapira mattress and free shipping on Lisa mattress at Lisa.com/Adam and enter promo code Adam at checkout. That's LEESA.com/Adam. Promo code Adam.
Best-selling author and columnist Jonah Goldberg will be in here in a second. His book, Suicide of the West. We'll talk about that. I was saying something, or I was thinking about something. I'll tease it with Jonah, and he can think about it a little bit, and I'd be curious to hear what his thoughts are on this subject, which is we've been talking a lot in the last year or so about campus and speech and what is free speech and what is hate speech and a lot more discussion about it than I ever thought we'd be having in 2018. Right. I thought it was just sort of, when I grew up, there was always this adage where you'd call someone a douche and then they'd go, take that back or something. You go, it's free country. Say what I want. Like, I used to throw that it's a free country out there all the time on the schoolyard and everything. And then I was listening to some radio the other day and they were talking about free speech. And one of the hosts was saying, well, look, it's called free speech. You should be able to say whatever you want on whatever campus you want. And then the other host was saying, yeah, but what if you're coming in there and you're saying things that are hateful or you're saying things that are inaccurate or you're saying things that people don't need to hear? We should just let anyone come on the campus and say what they want. And I was sort of doing the thing I, you know, always do. It's just like, yeah, okay, but let them say what they want. But then I started thinking about it, and I thought, oh, wait a minute. You don't have to fucking go to the engagement. And then I said to Max Zapata, I said, Max Zapata, just go to UC Berkeley and go to the, like, events calendar and just find 10 events that I wouldn't want to go to over the last... over this year.
And so you'll show up and protest.
I'm going to show up and protest. Okay, good. No, I have them around. There's Nicaragua's Solidarity Caravan for Peace.
That's a lot of words.
That's at Doe Library.
Oh, it's malo.
I don't think I'd be there. Mother-daughter-sister film screening and panel on sexual violence and...
Myanmar.
Myanmar.
Burma. Right, that's Burma. A hard pass.
That's at Bolt Hall School of Law. Dance Heritage and the Island of Cuba in Oakland with Roylando Lobato.
Okay. So far, that's the leader of the clubhouse by far, by a long
that's
shot.
That's at the Berkeley Art Museum and Pacific Film Archive. God, I can't even pronounce half of this stuff.
Let's see what you got.
Javanese. Where Java, oh. The coffee comes from in Indonesia.
What's the second part?
Gamelan.
Music and dance.
I need it.
That's
Google.
At the Hertz Concert Hall.
Okay.
But should go to that one to know how to pronounce it.
Critical language and pedagogy. I say that one right? Jesus, this is a fucking mouthful over here. Good luck with the marquee.
I need another G.
Listen, I couldn't even do the gas prices. Forget about this place. Teaching about dialect, variation, identity, and power. Now, that's at the Dwinnell Hall. Here's my point. If I went to UC Berkeley, I wouldn't want to attend any of these things. Not my thing. Part of it would be, well, I disagree with some of it, and the other part would be not interested. But I would never try to interrupt it. I would just go, that's going on in Thompson Hall, and then I'm going to be over here at a sports bar off campus with a cold one in my hand watching a little baseball.
Rooting on the Golden Bears.
Yeah. Go. Damn it.
Cal Golden Bears?
No.
Oski.
Oski.
Come on, buddy.
I'm getting old. And then I didn't go there. Go Oski. Yeah, that's their mascot. The mascot. All right, but you see what I'm saying? Like, we're having this discussion, like, should this person be able to? Should that person be able to? How about you just don't fucking go? Yeah. Have this shit going on all day, every day that you don't go to, don't go.
To tie it into a point you made a couple days ago, explain to Gina how fast you would go if a girl you were interested in decided to go. Like, Adam, you want to go see the Javanese dance routine? Absolutely. I'm already there.
Don't you want to know everything about Myanmar?
Yeah, as soon as I get my Japanese dancing shoes back from the repair shop wore them out during the last event.
I had no idea.
That's where Java comes from.
Yeah, if I can get them in time. If not, I'll go to my Japanese dance shoe rental place because I have a credit.
I know a guy.
Do you want to do something afterwards, maybe?
Yeah. How about I dance on those titties?
Sold.
With my Japanese dancing shoes. Provided they've been repaired in time.
Sure. Oh, God, for the, so hot.
For the event,
come on, bro. We're going to be late for the sports bar. Go,
Oski. Oh, we got a problem here. That's the same day as the Nicaraguan Solidarity Caravan for Peace.
Swoon.
The fuck did you say? I know I'm hammered, but I understand a word you said.
Trying to get laid.
Okay, point totally taken.
Yes.
But what if you combine the two things of something being inaccurate and potentially dangerous? So
but
I know
what is potentially dangerous.
The Japanese dancers.
Somebody comes in to say that Jews are to blame for the Earth being flat.
Hold on.
I don't think they would have a problem with that one. But all right, Hispanics Jews are to blame
for the Earth.
All right, Hispanics are to blame.
You're scapegoating someone for an inaccurate piece of information.
First off, if you have an insane theory or racist theory, good luck going to Berkeley and drawing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people are coming to the auditorium
if you're
of an insane, sort of horrible racist, whatever.
Straight white males are to blame for the Earth being flat.
But you may. If you'd like to do it, you still can do it. But I would, if you told anyone, now take to the streets, start smashing in storefronts and causing fires. I mean, look, there are plenty of conspiracy theories. Ed Asner thinks the Twin Towers were brought down by the U.S. government, which you could sort of argue is a kind of a dangerous thought. That means our government is, Spike Lee said the levees were blown up by the Army Corps of Engineers to drown black people. Now, you could say, well, now black people are going to grab machetes and take to the streets and go after the Army Corps of Engineers. But they don't because it's insane. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I need some action. If I don't see any action. By the way, Spike Lee slides right under the radar in a weird way with Adrian Peterson. And that in an insane statement that the Army Corps of Engineers has blew up the levees to drown black people. And it was like, all right, it was entitled to its own opinion. Now, you still need, well, first things first. I wouldn't lump, Ben Shapiro into this group.
Oh, sure.
But
I'm not doing that.
Even if you wanted to take it to an extreme and go, this guy does have crazy, hateful theories, I still need that person to have some sort of call to action. Promo code.
Okay.
What I mean?
Promo code Adam.
Promo code KKK.
Yes. I need something. I need some inciting. I need some part where you're
so here's what we're going to do about it.
Focusing on it. If not, I would just let him talk. But I also believe that if you run a business and your business is black people aren't welcome in our business, you'll go out of business. I sort of believe in the you're not going to go to UC Berkeley and draw a big crowd with your hateful kookiness, or it's not going to be something you can build a career on. Although it's been tried and it can be done. I don't know about UC Berkeley though.
There's also one thing I haven't heard addressed ever. Maybe just because I haven't come across it. The people programming these speeches, like programming the student, whatever, aren't, it isn't the Klan who's like arranging for people to come in. Like, it's other Berkeley students. They board
seeking
of,
out.
Yeah, it's a board of students.
Yeah, some young Republicans club that wants to hear so and so come in or something else.
Events and activities committee.
Exactly. It's a board who's set up to program everything from Javanese dancers to Milo Yiannopoulos. Whoever it is, it's not as though it's being foisted upon you by some evil force. It's, you know, it's other students.
All right, here's the other thing. Anyway. I got a couple more. I couldn't show up at. Identifying and addressing workplace bullying.
That's a big.
I'd like to preside over that one. When everyone got settled in, I'd turn the lights on and off once, and I'd yell, "You're all fucking worthless and weak. Now get the fuck out of here, pussies."
Bully.
All right, class dismissed. Lunch poems with Ari.
You're all worthless and weak.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Lunch poems.
Lunch poems with Ari Benias. I think.
All right.
All right. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff I wouldn't go to. And what I would say is if there's a whole bunch of stuff you wouldn't go to, then don't go.
If you were forced to go to one, which one would you choose? I might choose lunch poems.
Lunch poems. Poems about lunch?
The third one didn't sound quite so bad either.
His poems have appeared in various journals in Troubling the Line, Trans and Genderqueer Poetry and Poetics.
Oh, wow. I picked poorly.
See if we can find... Can we find any of
him... That's what they call the old bait and switch.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can we find Ari... Oh, so he didn't do a lot of... There once was a man from Nantucket? Because I'm out.
He brought his lunch in a bucket.
See if we can find some of his poetry. But look, I would probably not be able to hold down my lunch while eating my lunch was doing his lunchtime transgender-based poetry, but... I would never say you can't do it. I would say go do it, and I'll be over here
eating my lunch
somewhere else.
Dance heritage in the island, a Cuban in Oakland is my choice.
Yeah, I
want to see a Cuban dancing. If I had to see one, that's the winner.
All right, let me tell you about betonline.ag, Sportsnet Challenge. So much fun if you want to get involved in one, too. Join the betonline.ag, pick 'em, and you could win 25K. Use the code podcast1 and receive 50% bonus. It's a welcome bonus, and I'm going to need your help with my pick. So you send them because
we all need help with our picks.
I'm in, and I'll give you five of the 100. Oh, sorry. I'll give you five of you $100 credit on betonline.ag. That's been a lot online.ag. Five of you get $100 worth of credit to get going. Brian, what do you got?
So podcast one, like Adam alluded to, was doing this thing where like 15 of us podcast hosts are competing in a picks contest over the course of the season. Tough week three. Literally 14 out of the 15 of us picked the Vikings as their best bet over the Bills, and they just got waxed by the Bills. Completely unforeseen by any of us. I think one person made another pick, so we all lost. Thankfully, we all lost together. So you and I are still in it. We have 2 points on the season, which is very pathetic. But the leader right now is, are you ready for this? Rob Riggles in first place with 6 points. Chet Waterhouse in third place with 5 points. Shaq also with 5. Adam and Brian with 2.
Oh, embarrassing.
But I'll tell you what, being 4 points off the lead at this point, considering we lost our best bets a couple of times, is not that big of a deal. First place is within striking distance. Go to podcast1sportsnet.com to see the standings. Go to betonline.ag to participate and get a welcome bonus of your own, 50%.
On a personal note, could everyone around here step up their fairy tale football game and open a can of whoop ass on my boy Sonny?
Oh man,
because
he's getting too big for his britches.
He's preening. Undefeated.
He's walking around the house. I said to him last night, he's getting smug.
Oh, no.
I may have to go AP on his ass.
God,
literally
lacerated scrotum.
I said to him last night. I said, "How's the fantasy football going, boy?" He said, "Well, in the league that you and I are in together, not in so good. Not so good. The one that you're involved in, not very well. But the one I do without you, dominating.
Quite well. Sonny is leading the league at 3-0 and leading the league in overall points, which is pretty dominating at that point.
Then
my only loss is to Sonny Corolla. I'm 2-1.
I then had to explain to him how I am looked up to by the other dads, and that I have so much respect in this community, and that
pillar.
We need to up. I'm a pillar, and we need to up our game.
And are you kidding me?
He literally took great joy in explaining that not only was he never planning on watching my episode of Match Game, but that in the father-son league, we were being dominated. Yeah. But as soon as he broke free the shackles of Ace, he soared like a great dirigible.
Wow. We'll be discussing that and more on this week's episode of Fantasy BS, available now.
Jonah Goldberg is out there. We'll bring him in, and we'll do a little good sports, and we'll take a break, and we'll do all that right after this.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works, and sometimes doesn't.
If you want a reality check, call the police when your car or laptop gets stolen. If you have watched CSI for several years, you may assume that the police will show up and start by taking photos of the crime scene. After that, they will begin dusting for fingerprints and searching the floor for any possible DNA-related materials. Then they will bring out the ultraviolet light to make sure there is no other evidence present. After they leave, they will scour the neighborhood interviewing witnesses. Then they will take the collected evidence back to the police lab, where they will process the information through a series of computer programs until they produce a list of potential suspects. The suspects will be interviewed until the cops determine which one is the culprit, at which point that person will be arrested and charged. In reality, when you call the police about the theft, they will likely tell you to just come down to the station and fill out a report.
Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris, and narrated by Mike Dawson. Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla over there. Ace, I hope your one-on-one went well. Let's kibitz about sports a bit, shall we?
Please.
All right. But before we do that, I'm sorry. Let's talk the game of life, actually. I was thinking about that. You got back from your cruise a week ago. All the gang was out there on the cruise. And I find it, you know, the old cliche about, like, if you get nervous in front of people, just imagine they're all nude and then that'll put you at ease. I actually think better. Think of people when they're asleep. People are disgusting when they're asleep, and it really humanizes them and brings them back down to earth. But speaking of nudity,
yeah,
who do you think on the Adam Carolla show staff, who spends the most time within their own four walls nude?
Mm.
Who's a nude guy or nude gal?
Hmm.
Fondelier?
I don't think so. He's got a dog, and
Sam has a dog.
I'm just kind of ruminating. Not everything makes sense.
I'm going to just throw names at you.
He's got a small dog.
Laxamana.
And what I'm saying is
small dog. No N in that one, right?
Small dong. He's got a small dog, and that dog wouldn't have to look up and be literally traumatized. You know, as a dog. Now you can imagine if you were on a A-frame ladder, and you're at that top at that step where they say it's not a step.
Uh-huh.
Although they shouldn't use the word step, because in a weird way it reminded me that it could be a step. You know what I mean? They should say, like, made of marzipan. But instead they go, not a step. And you go, wait a minute, you said the word step. I think it could be a step. The fact that you have to tell people it's not a step makes me want to use it as a step. It's a sort of a museum, and you're the kid. Do not touch the sculpture. You know,
now I wasn't thinking about it, but now that the subject's come up, now I might.
Now, if you were up on that 6-foot A-framer, mm-hmm. and you're sitting on the thing that said not a step, it didn't say it wasn't a seat, but your helmet's not a chair. So you're sitting up there, and Fondelier's walking around naked.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good day. But it's not the worst day. But if you're rolling around on a mechanics creeper like that dog, like Taco, his dog Taco is a very small, short dog, and he's walking around naked, that's years of therapy. Years, literally. And in dog years, that can be tens and hundreds of years in human years. You know what I mean? With the dog year.
Yeah, the Lilliputians got along with Gulliver okay, but that's because he had pants on. You know,
right,
who knows,
like
what
a loincloth or something.
Right.
So, again, you take a Great Dane or one of those big giant Alpine dogs or something, that's fine. But if you're going Taco, who's a short, what kind of dog is it, Matt?
He's like a Chihuahua mix.
Very short.
Yeah.
And Chihuahuas can be emotional. You know what I mean? So you take that sort of tight wound wiring of a Chihuahua mixed with the short stature, mixed with Matt's prodigious nutsack, is literally blocking out the sun. Literally. Well, then I would say that's a non-starter for me. Wow. For me.
What about... you know what? I didn't mean to pick on him. He was the first one through the glass. I now am thinking about it. He might be a nude guy. I wouldn't be surprised. I do not think, I don't know. Dylan's got a weird entitlement about him. Like, he doesn't like, wait, what? What you're cracking on me for making a mistake? Like, he's surprised when you point out. It's weird to me. I could see him being like, what? I don't like underpants. That's all.
I could see Dylan being nude and imposing it on people. You know that move that weirdos do where they like answer the door nude? Yeah. Like, oh, you just caught me out of the shower. Like, but
you're... That's right. It's exactly right. What? So what? I don't have pants on. That's, yeah, it's weird. That's not a normal thing.
All those Harvey Weinstein stories start the same. Like, he came out of the shower and his towel fell off. He was just standing there naked. So there's that. Then, of course, there's Mike August in the background, who I hear...
He's a nude guy.
We're told he has a giant hog.
That's always been the story. Even before I met the Mike August, I heard the legend of his wiener.
And his, you know, of course, I dubbed him K.D. Wang because he looks like...
That's one of your best.
He looks like K.D. Lang, but if K.D. Lang had a big wang, you know?
Yeah.
So it could be Mike. It made sense that it would be Mike.
It's a weird thing, though. The psychology of the person... Who does that? And, you know, it's one of those things also that if you ever travel to Europe, you think in your young brain, I went over to Europe when I was about 21 or so, and I thought, it's really eerie.
We're looking at K.D. Lang.
It's eerie how much he looks like like her.
It looks a lot. You need a slightly younger version of K.D. Wang, but they're pretty damn close.
But that weird, because, yeah, so you go to Europe, or if you ever see any of those little quick little segments on Real Sex or whatever, where like, yeah, it's a nudist colony, and you think like, oh, that would be the greatest, but then you see what the reality is, and oh, yeah, 97% of human beings are unattractive. I don't want to see them nude.
Yeah, and it's also, hey, it's natural. Like, I don't know, maybe flossing is unnatural. You know what I mean? But I'm still down with it, right?
I don't understand sitting in your own home with no pants on, putting your bare tuchus all over the place. What's comfortable about that? The idea that it's liberating. I'm free. I'm not restricted by anything. There's too much freedom. There's such a thing. I don't even like boxer shorts for that reason. I don't like slapping all over the place here, there, and everywhere. Yeah. I need some restraint.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. Agreed.
What kind of world are we trying to live in here?
My grandmother.
Laxamana, though.
Yeah.
Gina?
My grandmother would be nice. My grandmother tried to recruit me to go to a nudist camp.
That's everybody's grandmother does that.
The place in Topanga Canyon called Elysium.
No way. There's one nearby.
Yeah. And the thing that gets creepier about the nudist camp is they start with the nudist camp part, and you go, all right. And, you know, all right, I could see myself sitting in a jacuzzi naked or going into the pool or something like that. Then they start describing all the activities, and that's when it gets super creepy. They got volleyball, badminton, shuffleboard, caroms.
That all sounds great as long as my foe wears pants.
Right, and now you got this weird... You got this weird thing. You're either playing across from Judge Judy, and that's lose-lose, or you got one of the Lander sisters. That's the two blondes.
I love your references are from 1981.
From the Love Boat.
One of the Lander sisters. Yeah, of course.
Two hot blonde twins. Look them up, Matt. Two hot blonde twins from the 70s and 80s.
Years old.
Right. You played across one of them circa 1984, and now you got full blown boner.
Yeah.
So what's it going to be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the thing about the nudist camp. If you're rounds the eights, nines, and tens, you got a boner. If you're the twos and threes, why'd you leave the house?
We're
you
always
have
around.
To have a nudist camp of fives so you could just walk around sort of leathering.
We've talked about doing our own versions of decathlons. What if we just say, like, regular decathlon events, except you have to do them with a boner?
I'm looking at the Lander system. That's some hot 80s action, though. Am I right?
I don't remember which was on which, but Audrey Lander's definitely the one that always did it for me more than Judy.
All right. I'll tell you what does it for me. BetOnline.ag. That's BetOnline.ag. College football, NFL football, greatest time of the year, and it has arrived. Do not wait to make your online wagers. Head to BetOnline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business, everybody. Use the promo code PODCAST1, and you can put a one as in a digit one, or you can write out the word one, O-N-E, whichever. You're still going to get a 50% sign-up bonus. Do it today. Podcast One, 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. So whether you love college football or NFL football, BetOnline.ag has it all for you, and you get in on the action today. Sign up at BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1. And get your 50% bonus when you sign up. BetOnline.ag. All right.
The fully engorged decathlon TBD, but I can promise you 24 hours from now you'll have a brand new Good Sports. We'll talk to you then. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out. Good Sports.